Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone. Welcome to today's Tivoli Talk for BP's The Ins and Out of Positioning Maximo with SAP conference call. Today's call is being recorded. As a reminder, this Tivoli Talk has an e-meeting and can be found in the calendar details for the call. If you do have any problems downloading the slides for the presentation or accessing the e-meeting, please contact at same time to Annette Rossi in Austin or He Shim in Chicago. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Michael Pollitt. Please go ahead, sir.
Good day. I want to thank everyone for joining this call to discuss what we feel is a very important topic, and that's how we position Maximo with SAP. You'll actually have three people speaking to you today, myself, Mike Pollitt, Pradeep, that will go second, and we'll wrap up with Wayne Contini. We will have a Q&A session following Wayne's presentation. So if we look at the agenda on slide two, I'll speak to the Maximo and SAP complementary positioning. Pradeep Nair will speak to the Maximo integration with SAP, and then Wayne Contini will lead us through competitive selling in this SAP Maximo environment. If we go to slide four, which is the first detailed slide entitled Core Positioning, if you look at the two major areas on these bullets here, Maximo with its deep asset management capabilities, the faster time to benefit, the lower training costs, and the lower lifetime or total cost of ownership, that's a logical assumption that it's a leading solution for your asset-intensive customers. We still battle, as per this conference call, the one-size-fits-all or ERP solution addresses the needs, and that is true in some cases, but for asset-intensive customers, obviously, Maximo is the logical choice. And then if you look at what the analysts say about the Maximo positioning, whether it's IDC or Gartner Group, Maximo is represented consistently as a leader in the industry. This particular graphic is from a recent Gartner Group Magic Quadrant. Maximo has been in the leadership quadrant for 10 or 11 of the last iterations of the Magic Quadrant, as well as leading the pack in the IDC and other analysts that follow this industry. So if you look at the deep functionality that's recognized by the analyst, and then the fact that we have a packaged integration between Maximo and all the leading ERPs, specifically in this case SAP, it is the logical choice for our asset-intensive customers, whether they're managing a large fleet, nuclear plants or other manufacturing facilities, telecommunications, anyone that's asset-intensive. Maximo is certainly the market-leading player and the logical choice to best meet that customer's asset management needs. If we go to the next slide, slide five, we're going to talk about this in three different major areas. One, the faster time to benefit. Two, the ease of use. And three, focused on the asset. If we go to the next slide, slide six, fast time to benefit. Before joining Tivoli and joining the Maximo team, I was responsible for an EAM consulting practice that sold and implemented SAP PM, Oracle EAM, DataStream, all the other players in the marketplace. And implementing Maximo compared to SAP, actually there was no comparison from a time to market or a time to implement as well as a cost to implement. It was typically a multiple when we were doing a similar implementation with an SAP PM module, even when it is implementing the SAP PM module in an existing SAP PM environment. So if you can get it implemented faster, you can begin realizing, obviously, that the benefits that are customers typically document in their business case as a case to move forward or a reason to move forward. The smaller investment, obviously, is on the implementation services, not only from the the core Maximo solution, but also the best practices and industry solutions that better meet the customer's needs, rather than having to re-engineer and do a deep 2B process design. We can go in with those best practices and use that as a springboard or a starting point for the customer. Flexibility, the third bullet on this slide, I think is key in this area. Not only because the customers vary even in the same industries, if you're implementing two customers that both have large fleets, their business processes are going to vary slightly. But for instance, a customer I was meeting with yesterday, they have many plants around the world that vary based on their asset management or maintenance maturity. And all of us on the call that focus in the EAM space, we all have assessments that we probably conduct for the customer to identify where they're at on a scale of being reactive in their maintenance processes to optimized at the top of the chart, depending on how your particular assessment looks. And within this company, and most companies, each plant varies on their maturity around their asset management or maintenance maturity. And it's important that we don't have a rigid process design that tries to instill a hard and defined set of processes across all plants. When we're implementing different sites, business units, or plants, we need to be able to tailor or tweak that process to their specific needs, so that as they continue to grow in their maintenance maturity, the solution can grow with them. I think this is especially important as we see more and more customers that are not looking at an application lifespan of 5 to 7 years as it was 10 or 15 years ago. Customers wanted an application that would last them 5 to 7 years and they were ready to go through a replacement cycle. We're seeing more and more customers that are expecting, once they make a selection, that application, though they'll upgrade obviously to later releases, that application is going to meet their business needs for 10 or even as far out as 15 years before they're ready to replace the application. And it's around this flexibility and continuing to evolve. It's not only as the plant or the business unit matures, it's also our business changes. From an asset management perspective, I've been in the industry for about 20 years. Asset management has changed dramatically over those 20 years, and you'll want a system, and your customer needs a system that can continue to evolve with them, and also to react to regulatory changes. Regardless of your industry, you have new regulatory changes that come out that can directly affect your asset or maintenance management aspects. And if you look at this flexibility, it's under the category of fast time to benefit, but I think it ties directly in, if we move to slide 7, to ease of use. One of the keys with this ease of use, and it's really an overarching theme, is the end user in this particular instance, are people that are planners, schedulers, people that work on the plant floor. Change management to them, or them embracing the tool and using the tool, adopting the tool, something that's going to help them make their job easier, versus a tool where the corporation or big brother can watch what they're doing, is crucial. And in the consulting world, we refer to this as change management. I believe change management's more important in the asset management space or when you're dealing with the user community on the plant floor than if you're implementing a new general ledger or accounts payable or procurement system, where that user community is used to using computer applications. They can adapt to different changes, and the application is actually, for them, it is a tool that they use to accomplish their job. On the plant floor, we need to make sure that the end user views this application as a tool so that ease of use, the logical and efficient structure of the application, the intuitive nature of the application is crucial to drive that change management and that adoption. In fact, if the application is implemented perfectly from a technical perspective, and I've actually seen this through the years on implementations, if we implement the or install the application, we do all the performance tuning, we've converted all their data, we've built all their interfaces, they have response time that meets their expectations, but the user community hasn't embraced the solution and adopted the solution as a tool to help them do their jobs better, the enterprise will not see the return on their investment that they're planning. You'll find latency in data. You'll find inaccuracies in data. In fact, we've seen some of the competitive products that have been implemented because of the lack of intuitiveness of the application or the user friendliness. You'll find the end user community actually continuing to use paper to accomplish their job and then turning their paper work orders, completed work orders, material parts requests over to clerical people to be entered into the system. That's certainly not what we want here. In that case, the user has not embraced the solution. It's not a tool for them to do their job better, and you're probably not going to get the benefits or the timeliness of the data that you're looking for to make your business decisions. All this culminates together to deliver a more efficient workforce for the asset management or asset-intensive community. If we then turn to slide 8, focused on assets, this is when you have a one-size-fits-all, if you will, they're trying to do an adequate job in all functional areas. The trend that we're seeing in asset-intensive companies is they see the better they manage their assets and their maintenance organization, and more importantly, deliver a higher availability on the operation side of the house for throughput, that is a differentiator for them in their industry. And we have many customers that have bought SAP for their back office or their ERP solutions, and at the same time bought Maximo for their asset-intensive operations. So it's well recognized within we've experienced that in the oil and gas industry, large manufacturing, and utilities or natural energy and natural resources arenas, where customers agree that SAP meets their ERP needs well. But for their asset-intensive operations, they want the best-of-breed solution, the Maximo solution, to manage their enterprise-wide assets. It's also important to realize that Maximo is the only solution on the market that can manage all of their classes of assets so that you don't have these stovepipes across your enterprise. Maximo can handle your fleet assets, your plant assets, your facilities, your transmission distribution, if it's a utility, other linear assets, as well as your IT assets. We have a very large customer that is aligning with our convergence model that we started talking about a couple of years ago, and they're running their nuclear plants, fossil plants, gas distribution, electric T&D, and I think the next rollout is including their fleet assets, their facilities assets, and their IT assets, all running on a single instance of Maximo. So this gives the, whether it's the CFO or the Vice President of Operations, the CEO, an enterprise-wide view of all of my assets and how they're contributing to the business and what those assets are costing me. Likewise, the feature-rich nature, and we talked a little bit about that earlier, that is the core of what Maximo is focused on, and that is asset management, and it's all phases, whether it's reactive, which we've heard from a number of our customers, SAP PM, a very strong product, but it does run into a few issues with usability and efficiency when dealing with reactive maintenance, where Maximo can deal with your reactive or short-term issues through your preventative maintenance, through to predictive maintenance, on into supporting your reliability-centered maintenance initiative. And then as we also spoke earlier, the feature-rich nature and the advanced workflow capabilities turns this not only from an application where I have to go to my computer periodically and see which work orders need to be approved or which requisitions need to be approved or what actions need to take place. The workflow and the other automated processes that can be configured within Maximo will transition Maximo more to a ubiquitous tool, again, for me to accomplish my job as opposed to an application that I have to go to use. There again, we're focusing on trying to drive the application to more of a tool that the end user community utilizes as opposed to something that they have to do in addition to doing their jobs. And then also the second book with bullet that I skipped over, unfortunately, the advanced asset management capabilities. We have 7 industry solutions from pharmaceuticals, nuclear, electric T&D, fleet, government, the service provider, industry solutions that can serve as a springboard for your customer, not only to move to industry best practices, but to make their implementations more efficient, shorten the duration, lower the typical risks associated with a project of this magnitude, so you can up your customer success rate on the project, as well as get the customer live and in production faster so they can begin realizing some of the benefits from the solution. If you also look at a benefit around Maximo with the, I think it's around 10,000 customers that we have around the world, the value that becoming part of that community by industry or sharing best practices across industry brings incredible value to our customer base and extending that customer base. If you go to the next slide entitled SAP Customers Using Maximo for Enterprise Asset Management, this is just a very small sampling of the customers that not only have SAP implemented and integrated with Maximo, the package solution that IBM offers, but also have built some maybe custom integration or point-to-point integration between Maximo and SAP. We've included a lot of household names here. It's a much larger list, comprehensive list, covering all the industries. So we have solid reference customers that have made those decisions to utilize SAP in their back office and Maximo for their asset-intensive operations. And if you look at your customer base and your pipeline of opportunity as business partners with Maximo, there's 4 logical areas, I think, if you consider where the customer is or the requirements, where Maximo is certainly the right choice. And we would like to think it's the right choice all the time, but you're certainly going to run into customers where that's a challenge. But I think these 4 areas are logical areas or sweet spots, if you will, that you should consider. 1, the customer has deep asset management requirements. As we've said multiple times throughout this presentation, that's for asset-intensive customers. Bullet 2 is somewhat unique, but we have seen it come to fruition several times where a customer is implementing a large enterprise-wide ERP with SAP or supply chain, and it's a 3-, 4-, 5-year implementation. The asset owners need an interim solution. They need something so they can start running their maintenance and asset management operations more efficiently. And what we've seen in several instances is they will implement Maximo as an interim solution, and then when it comes time to consider SAP PM, Maximo is so ingrained in their user community, and the user community is so supportive of it being a tool, they end up staying actually on Maximo, which is our objective. This also speaks to a point that's crucial around, you know, best of breed versus an ERP or a one-size-fits-all. If you're an asset-intensive company, for instance, a refinery, if I am running a module that's on my ERP, I want to be able to upgrade to take advantage of all the latest functionality, but if I'm integrated with the corporate-level ERP or I'm using that module that's part of the overall enterprise ERP solution, I am not going to be in control of how frequent or when that upgrade takes place. Case in point, if I have an outage or a turnaround coming up for my plant, I would want to schedule my upgrade in alignment so it fits my operational needs and when I can potentially take an outage of the EAM solution. If it's driven at the ERP level, I probably don't have nearly as much influence over when that actually occurs. The third point, if you have customers where you've implemented SAP ERP or supply chain environments, not only is a significant value add to that supply chain environment by adding EAM, so you should look at your customer base where you've done these supply chain solutions. If they're an asset-intensive customer, find out what they're running for their EAM solution, and you can help actually extract more value out of a supply chain solution by implementing Maximo, because that's where the majority of their demand will come from, for their MRO, their maintenance, repair, overhaul, material, feeding into lead time and into the supply chain cycle. But also, you can if the customer already has SAP implemented, we can implement Maximo and install the packaged integration with SAP without introducing significant risk into the ERP. Where if I'm a customer already running SAP for my ERP and I want to turn on SAP PM, I have to go in and make modifications to the general ledger, typically procurement, the MM module, the materials management module, inventory module, and sometimes HR. So to turn on my asset management capabilities, I am at risk of introducing instability in my ERP. So by utilizing Maximo in that instance, I can minimize risk to my ERP and deliver a more functionally rich, best-of-breed solution to my customer. And then the last bullet is, again, focusing on those customers that align with our industry solutions. And, again, those are created primarily for those asset-intensive industries where we've brought best practices to bear for those industries, and we have some springboards that can help implement the customer solution more quickly so they can begin realizing benefits. That is the last slide of my presentation. I will now turn it over to Pradeep Nair that will speak to the Maximo integration with SAP.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, I'm going to go through the integration capabilities that we deliver with Maximo for the SAP systems. If you look at our strategy, we have been providing a solution, an integration solution for SAP for close to a decade now, starting with SAP R3 3.x release. And, you know, we have customers starting with those release, having upgraded through SAP and Maximo, and still having the integration applied that we provide applied to that environment. So as Mike was pointing out, we provide an easy solution for you to integrate Maximo with SAP. The solution is designed in such a way that it addresses all the plumbing requirements for you to connect Maximo to SAP, and we look at all the processes that our customers typically need, and then we connect those processes in the solution that we provide. So it is an easy, low-cost solution. And the goal is to provide the connect EAM and connect to the ERP systems and provide the necessary financial, accounting, and HR-related transactions to SAP. And typically, that's how our customers use that integration solution. And what that allows you and the customer to realize is it is a solution that provides the fastest time to benefit. So it goes in fast. It's already pre-built. And because we have developed this in a generic fashion for a number of our customers, it is a lower cost solution because you don't have to think about how to integrate, what to integrate, and what are the options and so on. We have already taken care of that in the integration solution that we provide. And in the long run, as you upgrade your systems, you realize the benefit of this package integration because as we provide the integration, as you upgrade, you realize you don't have to get your IT aligned or have third parties come in to figure out what the new releases are capable of and how to address the new integration. We provide the integrations basically with the latest Maximo and the latest SAP release as we go on. And this is pretty much in line with the IT environment of today. If you, I'm pretty sure you're aware of the SOA messaging and you know how the IT department, the CIOs, and the IT management wants to get away from getting locked in with the system and dealing with proprietary APIs and so on. So Maximo, as Mike was saying, you know, it is a best-in-class EAM system. It is designed in open architecture based on standards. So it fits into any IT's SOA model using standards. And beyond that, we provide out of the box for Maximo the SOA-based web services, for example. We provide a sample that the customers can use out of the box, and we allow them to deploy additional web services just by pointing and clicking. This is slightly different than how SAP delivers web services. For them, because SAP is still ABAP-based, and the NetWeaver solution that really provides those SOA and so on is it's an add-on. In order to enable web services for the SAP's ERP system, the SAP vendor, pretty much the company, have to provide the web services first, or you have to go in and do a lot of coding, including ABAP and so on, IDOCs for ABAPs and so on, to turn it on. But for Maximo, all of our Java objects are enabled to provide either receive messages or deliver messages to an external system. And this is pretty much in line with how the IT expects the new applications that goes into their environment. They want something that is adaptable, easy to deploy, easy to manage, maintain, and they can just plug in. And that's what Maximo is. And if you look at the long term, if you have systems that go in as easy as Maximo, pluggable and so on, they will realize lower TCO in the long run, even immediately to the application's functionality, but in the long run for IT as well, because they will realize as requirements changes and the new regulations come in, the system that can adapt the quickest will give them the best benefit, and that's Maximo. And the system that can integrate the new systems, maybe, you know, FDA requires you to send a new information to their system as the life sciences company do some process, or FAA requires the aircraft manufacturers or the aviation companies to report certain things on the aircraft. The system that can deploy those capabilities and provide the means to integrate with third parties, third external system, will be the ideal beneficial system that the IT group will realize, because they don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about how to code this, don't have to bring in experts, don't have to wait for, you know, SAP consultants to show up. They can figure this out. They can have business partners, their business partners, implement this much quicker than the proprietary systems or more complex systems. So what that means is it improves the competitiveness of the company, your client or the customer, and their service level. And if you're a service provider, providing services for your customers, again, it helps you adapt to those changes and improve service levels for them and to them. And finally, the maintain agility is a key thing here. You know, it's nice to have one vendor system, one vendor solution, but if you look at the long run in terms of the customer's perspective and as well as the SI or business partner perspective, if the customer has everything on SAP, one thing is it's less of a negotiation capability for the customer with SAP on options or new functionality that they need. Because SAP pretty much have them, and they don't see any other system coming in because they have a lock in the enterprise. And for business partners, what tend to happen is when you have all the IT expertise on one system, it's easier for the customer or even SAP move the entire process to another SI. You know, you could outsource it to another SI or outsource it to a hosting system. So it doesn't really allow you to leverage your skills. So you want to balance the IT environment in an SOA fashion, bring in the best systems, provide the services to integrate the right systems and continue to maintain those services or skills for the customer. So you want to tell the customer not to get locked in by the vendor, provide the appropriate solutions, and then you yourself be the expert for the customer and provide all the systems that allows the customer to excel in their process. That's the goal. It works well with the IT's goal, and Maximo fits very well with that strategy. Now, if you look at the integration, we have looked at our customers' requirement for more than a decade now, close to a decade, and provided all the integration points, touch points that we see customers integrating Maximo to an ERP system, the general ledger, inventory, procurement, HR, projects, so on. So when you drop the integration into the customer's environment, they have all this integration ready and enabled. And one other thing there is we design the integration so that the goal, the ultimate goal is for the customer to have their end users to only use one system. And you find that when you approach this in any other fashion, that people don't really think through this, and you will have the end user entering work orders in Maximo and going into SAP to check the requisitions for that work order. And we avoid all this in the integration. If you create a work order in Maximo and the work order requires parts and Maximo generates the requisition, Maximo, the integration sends that to SAP, and when SAP has an update, gets a PO created or have a vendor feedback, all that information comes back to Maximo. So the user creating the work order just have to look into Maximo and look at the progress of their work, the purchase request, and see when it's coming in, see if vendor has changed the dates, and plan accordingly. So it's very important for us and for the customer to have the end users be trained on one system. That's the ultimate goal of the integration, and we provide that here. And if you look at the full breadth of the integration capability, we not only connect to SAP, the MIA, the Maximo Enterprise Adapter, can connect to any system in the enterprise using web services. Ideally, we want to bring the customer to the web services environment and have everything web service enabled. But if they are not and they have some proprietary system or legacy system and they want to use other forms, we can do that. But we can connect to their customer service system, the GIS system, the CAD system, and bring information back and forth. And the goal here is to bring all the critical information to the right system so that the user for that system sees all that information there, and they don't have to learn or be trained on multiple systems. And that's key in presenting or positioning an integration solution, and that's why we think it is key to present the adapter here. Now, the scenarios that I presented earlier, the integration, it's busy. You have a lot of integration points going back and forth, and you'll say, well, that's why it's so complex, and you know, this is why it's so hard to implement. And that's really, you know, we look at it as presenting it for multiple customers. Different customers have different needs. But not all customers are going to use all the integration points. And it is designed for you to go in and turn on the integration points in the direction of information flow the way the customer wants it. And the example here is, you know, we have customers basically in three different scenarios. We have customers just using Maximo for work and asset management and SAP for everything else, you know, financials, inventory, and purchasing. And then we have customers in the other extreme, the scenario three, where they have Maximo doing work orders, inventory, the MRO inventory, and the MRO purchasing. And SAP is just a financial system and for accounts payable for payment. And then we have customers in the middle where they say, well, inventory is tightly related to asset management, so we'll have that in Maximo. But procurement, because we have manufacturing tied in, procurement should be in the ERP system. So that's scenario two. And our integrations are designed to address these kind of scenarios. And if you look at the boxes below, it gives you a sample of purchasing options. You know, if you have scenario one, you can have all the requisitions going out to SAP and getting the appropriate feedback in. If you have scenario three, we can take the other extreme as seen in box three or four, where the purchasing is implemented differently, all through configuration switches, not through coding, not through programming. So you can enable the customer pretty quickly by deploying the appropriate integration points. And we provide all this in a package. We provide, it is not something that you, you know, not a document that you go in and write code. We provide the codes for Maximo and SAP, and all you have to do is drop in those codes for the Maximo side and the SAP side. And we provide the documentation, and the fourth bullet there is key. We provide support for the adapters, ongoing support as well as upgrades. So as the new versions of Maximo come out and a new version of SAP comes out, we provide the equivalent adaptive functionality for those releases. Going to the next slide, we also provide flexibility. We know it is not always Maximo integrated with SAP. There are many different scenarios in the enterprise. You typically see an enterprise hub like the WebSphere broker or TIBCO or CDON, and you want the customer wants you to go through that. And we can do that quite easily with Maximo and the integration. Obviously, the middleware, the hub, needs to address the transactions. And typically, when customers' IT have implemented a middleware, they take ownership of that. And you have to align yourself with that goal in mind and break up the adapter into two parts and have it go through the hub. And we have done that for a number of customers, and that is easily done. The expectation that we sometimes see not positioned properly is when you have a middleware, the middleware's requirement on the SAP side is often overlooked. As I was saying, that we provide a lot of functionality that we add on the SAP side to bring the richness of data back into Maximo. So when you have a middleware other than what we provide, either you decide not to provide those rich capabilities or you have to implement those capabilities through the middleware. That's the thing that you have to account for. And going to other options, there are multiple deployment scenarios. You can also deploy Maximo with multiple SAP systems. We also find a number of customers that still want or still has to run their plants or sites separately because their data is not clean, and they cannot have the equipment or asset information centralized, and they want Maximo to be deployed at the site for various reasons, and they have multiple SAP systems, and you want to do multiple connections, and we can do that. And in fact, we have customers doing that. We can also have, as the third right-hand box there shows, that multiple Maximos connecting to multiple systems, SAP systems through Hub, and we can do that. Again, when you have a Hub, it is an opportunity for you as a business partner to come in and provide more expertise around the Hub, because obviously the Hub expertise relies on the the customer's IT or the implementer, the SI or the business partner who's implementing the solution. So we have quite a large install base, SAP install base, and quite a large number of them using the adapter. This is the sample of customers using the adapters. I just put the key customers that I think you recognize their names. Majority of them use the standard adapter. We have customers, I don't know if I have Samsung here. There's a number of customers, like such as Samsung, who have done the integration with the middleware, such as TIBCO. NASA is another example that has the integration with CBeyond. So there are examples there that customers can do it, and it's not as complicated as you might be led to believe by SAP or the SAP's partner in this example. Now what I'll do is turn the presentation over to Wayne for the competitive selling session.
Okay. Again, my name is Wayne Contini, and I am going to spend the next 10 or 15 minutes focusing on the sales process, where we go into clients that either are considering SAP or may have SAP in place. And we feel that having dealt in this area for many years, probably 10 years plus, that front end of the sales cycle is key into the process that will hopefully allow us to position Maximo in a favorable way, be selected, and then actually implement. So one of the things or the areas that we focus on the front end is to understand who the client is and validate what the organizational structure is within the company, how those executives are involved in the decision-making process. In this case, Maximo is usually positioned with the operational organization and then supported by the IT organization. So we really take a two-pronged approach to positioning Maximo. One, we educate the IT folks around the integration, as Pradeep just explained, as well as we talk about the value add that Maximo provides in deep functionality specifically developed for the industries that we serve, which Mike Pollitt briefly described. And then we also try and work with the client to understand what their current application portfolio is. That means what applications are in place above and beyond SAP in the plants, for example, or in the facilities organization, and how we might need to either integrate or potentially consolidate some of those applications based on Maximo's deep functionality as well as the flexibility to be able to build out some of these things. We also talk to the client and identify how they view software vendors and their approach to acquiring software. As you can imagine, most clients that use SAP are focused on a single vendor, and they're trying to leverage as much value from that single vendor and capabilities across the entire enterprise as possible. However, there are other clients that might take a best-of-breed approach where they have third-party products that they would like to bolt on, and then others as well that have interest in potentially working with the vendor to continue to enhance and develop functionality that's required based on their particular industry. So one of the areas, because we found best practice to be, one of the areas we focus on is having access to the individuals that will influence and, in fact, approve any decision, especially in light of the fact that SAP would be in there and they would have a competing maintenance management or EAM-type tool. And therefore, what we ask for very early on in the process is to have access to those decision makers, and it serves two purposes. One, because they normally have identified an evaluation team, and the evaluation team is a cross-functional team across the organization, and they bring their subject matter expertise in and are reviewing more or less features and functions, capabilities, and comparing that to what they have and what their vision is going forward. On the other hand, the executives may have a different set of pain points that we would like to understand and then focus on as part of the overall process to deliver value to them as well, whether those are KPIs that they're being measured on and compensated on, or whether it's a matter of giving visibility to them across the enterprise so that they can make business decisions around budgeting and expenditures and things of that nature. So those are some of the key areas that we focus on the front end. In addition to that, we identify and confirm the customer's process, the client's process. And we educate the IT organization on how the tools that we provide as part of the Maximal solution can then support IT during the implementation and beyond. Mike talked about lower cost of ownership. We believe, and the customers have validated as a result of implementing Maximal with SAP, that over the long term, Maximo does provide a lower total cost of ownership because of the flexibility, and the customer or the client now has the ability to be able to go in and change things as the either the internal organization dictates or external pressures from regulatory bodies might be changing some of those processes. We work with the client and make suggestions. In some cases, we challenge them on their process. And we do that just to validate that we have been through this many, many times with similar clients, and that what we've learned from those processes is that there may be some advantage to modifying their process to align, to take advantage of, to visit site, you know, site visits, reference calls, conference, even do conference room pilots in some cases. As we identify the customer's or client's application portfolio, one of the things that we would do is then map those applications back to the IBM portfolio or the business partner's portfolio of services deliveries, but also applications that they might have that would extend the functionality and the value to the customer, and also potentially plug any gaps that they may have in the current application world. And I'll have an example at the end that kind of demonstrates how the initial scope from a particular customer we sold a year ago went from what they originally viewed as a requirement, like-for-like replacement, to something beyond that, and where IBM Maximo could provide incremental value and help consolidate other vendors, integration, upgrades, and all the costs associated with that. And we would refer to that as kind of re-engineering their vision based on that expanded scope and the capabilities we can deliver in terms of the overall solution. And Mike talked about some of those incremental solutions being some of the industry solutions that we have developed. We don't believe that you can simply go in with a common product or a common solution that's going to meet the needs of all the industries. So what we've done is we've built these industry solutions to satisfy the needs based on a particular industry. And then we try and align those capabilities and incremental value back to the business drivers. In some cases, clients are looking for to develop a business case and an ROI, and they are then comparing that to the competition. And one of the things that we like to do is take the client where the competition can't go, in this case, by the expanded portfolio of applications that we deliver and the value that that we deliver as part of that. That we constantly go back and revalidate in the client's mind their process, and we constantly go back and identify issues and or concerns. You know, what is their experience having gone through this perhaps before? Do they have any preference in terms of, you know, how they approach integration? Pradeep talked a little bit about that. Many companies are moving away from point to point and using, you know, enterprise service buses to be able to integrate the different applications. And we need to understand that in order to eventually come up with an approach and a strategy as to how we're going to deliver the most value back to the customer. Are they working with any existing service providers? That could be IBM. It could be any of the folks on the phone today. And then also, what is the level of influence from those service providers? We want to take all of those things into consideration as we start working the way through the process so that we understand how the client is going to make an eventual decision. And then we go back and, again, confirm the issues and concerns with the client and try and work up alternatives or workarounds and see what their appetite is to what we are describing as a potential solution, or we may have addressed that at another client, and that would be something that we would set up in the way of a reference site visit to take the issue off the table. As we start collecting all of this information, we start developing a sales approach and strategy, and at the same time, we're hopefully working on developing internal coaches, that is, individuals from the client that are willing to share information with us about things that we've discussed up to that point, recommendations that they're making to us based on the organization and feedback from some of the teams. And then we're taking that information and adjusting, tweaking our approach and strategy to ensure that we're meeting their expectations during the process. We identify an internal team as well as external teams that'll make up the actual IBM team when we go in and present. In this case, with the partners being on the phone, you may leverage IBM people that have expertise around Maximo, or you may have other third parties that you have relationships with that that maybe you've worked with in the past that you would want to bring in to plug gaps, to provide incremental value, or to demonstrate that you have knowledge of their particular industry. And all of that is, you know, excuse me, extremely important when we're trying to establish credibility with the client. And you know, a follow-up item to that is talk to your peers, talk to company resources, talk to people internally and externally, and make sure that you are constantly going back and validating, you know, that you are providing the information that the customer needs to make an informed decision, because you don't want to wait till the 11th hour, especially when SAP may be in place or some other vendor. Because at that point it's too late, so you don't want an 11th hour fire drill. And then think outside the box and conceptualize how Maximo can be configured. And this goes back to the knowing the customer or client's application portfolio. Do we simply position the core product for Maximo? Do we bring in some of the industry solutions to be able to address or collapse or consolidate some of the other third-party applications they're using? Or do we bring in other third-party solutions to fill gaps and provide greater value to the customer as a result of what the requirements have been, what the customer's requirements are and have been defined to that point? And then after you've, again, collected all this information, you've identified what the solution's made up of, you now develop the presentation and solution. You work together with that team, whoever that consists of, and you go through some dry runs. You potentially invite a coach or coaches to a presentation prior to the actual presentation that you're going to make to the company. You run some ideas by them, get feedback, adjust the presentation accordingly so that, again, when you're delivering the message, it hits home with them and is very focused on what it is that the customer is looking for. And then, we confirm the next steps. Okay, what happens after we make the presentation? Are there specific customers that they're aware of in the industry that that they want to participate and go to reference site visits? Whenever we schedule site visits, one of the things that we ask the potential client for is a list of topics and the makeup of their team by title and responsibility, so that we can educate the references prior to them coming out and make sure that the reference also has the respective individuals on their side to be able to discuss the topics that the client wants to discuss. So if there's if the team is made up of IT people, integration people, subject matter experts around functionality, we need to make sure that that's a mirror image of what the reference is going to have on site so that all those questions can be addressed. And then we ask if there are any changes to the customer's process, and then, of course, we adjust our process accordingly. We build a bulletized list of each step to the point of closure. We identify who's responsible, whether the client is, IBM, or the partner is, or both, and then we assign dates that we both agree to, and then we check that off, and we go back and adjust it as accordingly. And then hopefully, if we've done the right things during the process, it's a matter of closing, and most of the risk at that point has been taken off the table because we've provided the customer with the information they need to make that informed decision. And then the last slide is kind of the conceptual view of how we would work with an SAP ERP implementation. And having done the discovery work, if you look on the left-hand side, we position Maximo as the best of breed for strategic asset and service management. And that validates that we are providing these applications as part of a suite where we could go into an SAP organization which has SAP, but they are also bolting on a number of third-party products for IT asset management, help desk, a visual parts catalog, calibration. And then over time what happens in many organizations is they develop what we call pop-up applications, which could be an Access database, Excel database, spreadsheet, something to that effect, because the core application that was originally implemented no longer supports new business requirements as they would be identified either externally or internally. And so what conceptually comes across to the client based on this last slide is, well, so what you're telling me is that regardless of whether I go with SAP, PM, or Maximo, I'm going to have other applications that I have to integrate to, and therefore I'm going to have a hybrid either way. So why don't I select or use Maximo and the suite of products they present, because basically they're going to be able to provide more value than what SAP PM is, which is more of a one solution fits all versus a deep capability that Maximo has developed in the industry solutions. So that's all I had in terms of the slides. And I think what we wanted to do, operator, is at this point, there is some information on this slide in terms of other materials that might be able to be used, contact names, for additional information, the business portal, partner portal that everybody should hopefully be familiar with. I believe these presentations will be posted there for your reference. And then at this point, we're going to open it up for questions.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 on your touchtone telephone to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment. And it appears we have no questions, so I'd like to turn the conference back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, we appreciate your time today. Please call us if you have any questions or if you're in a competitive environment where you need our assistance. We're here to help. As per the last slide, slide 26, you can reach out to your channel sales manager and they can engage the appropriate person to help you. And don't hesitate to come back to us if you have additional questions. And I appreciate your time, and this will close out the call. Thank you very much.
That does conclude today's presentation. Thank you for joining us, and have a wonderful rest of the day.